Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Whether you're looking to elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments, Tecovas boots will do the trick. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com, that's Tecovas.com, and don't go gently, y'all. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Thursday, June 6, 2024. Thank you for downloading. Fred Minnick, noted bourbon expert and big collegiate wrestling fan, is going to join us. We're going to talk to him about a surprise winner in his Ascot Awards, his annual tasting, the Super Bowl of spirits tasting, and also talk to him about the Scottie Scheffler Louisville comments, which is kind of a low-key dig at the unfortunate arrest at the PGA Championship this past week. But in the meantime, other stuff happening as we speak. And it looks like the NBA rights deal is about to go official, and it's going to NBC, as reported. This means TNT is going to be out of the mix. NBC's deal apparently includes 100 games annually, but half of them on Peacock. So yes, if you like your NBA and you are used to getting it on TNT, and you weren't having to pay for TNT, guess what? You're getting cocked. This Peacock is starting to grow and swell and get larger. Okay, that's enough. I understand what NBC is doing. I hate it, but I understand it. First, they grab a chunk of the NFL. And you don't have to own all the NFL. You just need to get a chunk of it. You just need to get your fingers into a piece of it. Because every NFL game is vital to at least a huge portion of football fans for fantasy reasons, gambling reasons, and just because we've grown accustomed to, well, I can get every game, right? And they're grabbing the nationally televised games on the holidays, Peacock is, and so that's very smart of them. That's number one. Number two, they already got their mitts into college football and college basketball, which was a little bit easier to kind of dismiss and go, okay, well, I guess I could do without that, or thank God it's not my team. But entire leagues like the Big Ten have gotten in bed with the cock. And so I know I, for one, have had to subscribe to it because of the Big Ten and the Wisconsin Badgers and for work and everything else, and just because I want to watch the goddamn games. So I'm in. And now, because of the NBA deal, in which half of these games are going to be on Peacock, I'm pretty sure most of them will be regular season games that I give zero fucks about. I'm still going to have to subsidize it because, you know, the cost of Peacock is going to be going up. So they got us. They got us. And as somebody pointed out, this is essentially what people were saying. I just want a la carte. Give me a la carte. I'm sick of paying for cable. I want everything. I just want what I want. And I want to pay for it. You, and you. Well, guess what? A la carte is here. You happy, Pappy? No, you're not. Because the cost of sports is now not being subsidized by the blue-haired grandmothers who are 78 years old who never watch the sports, but it was bundled in their cable TV. And of course, Gran-Gran had to have cable TV because she loved to watch Matlock on Turner Classic Movies or whatever. So prices going up, rents going up. The a la carte world is not what you thought it would be. But guess what? If you don't like it, you ain't going to pay, then you're not getting no Coke. Like Danny Noonan said in Caddyshack. And that's just the way it is. Of course, it means Inside the NBA is now marked for death. One more year on TNT, and then who knows what will happen after that. Maybe NBC is going to buy that show and port it over lock, stock, and barrel. I think that's a dubious proposition, but who knows? Even worse, we're losing another great show, or not losing it, but its chunks of the show are flying off left and right. Jason McCourty is leaving Good Morning Football. Now, he was a recent addition, and as an ex-player, they're more replaceable. Also, in addition to this, Jamie Erdahl is relocating to L.A. from New York. Kyle Brandt will stay in New York City part-time, and Peter Schrager's plans are still to be determined. They already lost Kay Adams because they chose Erdahl instead, or Kay Adams was trying to get the gig that Aaron Andrews got on Thursday Night Football with Amazon. She's, I guess, doing okay over on FanDuel TV, whatever that is. I see her clips on social media. I don't watch the show. I think she's lovely and talented. Broke my heart when she left. Maybe she saw the writing on the wall. But the cheap fucks at the NFL have decided to just go ahead and gut this great show and move the production to LA to save a few line items of expense on their billion-dollar spreadsheet of costs of things. And it's going to break the show to pieces. Now, did I watch the show? No, not in long-form content. I'm on Monday through Friday, opposite Good Morning Football. But I would watch the segments that got reposted, and I would catch it from time to time when I wasn't on the air. It was a goddamn good show. It'll still be a good show. I mean, Kyle is great. Very creative. Very good at what he does. And for a good-looking guy who's a famous TV type, the most down-to-earth guy I've ever been lucky enough to kind of know just tangentially through the media. But he does some really high-level good shit. And I hope they still keep doing it, but it just looks like that show is also now about to get broken into pieces. One other thing that didn't get to talk about. So I did with Andy on Sunday's into Monday's pod, but Birmingham Southern College went defunct while their baseball team was still fighting for and staying alive in their college baseball tournament, Division III, I believe. After they finally got knocked out of the tournament, they decided they would take one more bus ride home to Birmingham. I think they were somewhere, Ohio, Indiana, whatever. It would have been a very short plane ride. Instead, it was going to be a fairly long bus trip, and they decided to take one last bus trip together. And that, my friends, as anyone who's ever played a team sport knows, is the essence of what you miss the most. Of course, the games will linger in your mind. The great wins, the agonizing losses, the times where you could have made the catch or made the throw or whatever that still haunt you. But it's the bus rides with teammates that's the core of it all. And these guys wanted one more of those. I think all of us, whoever were lucky enough to play a team sport, want one more bus ride with our guys. And for anyone who's got kids right now who are in sports, make sure you impress upon them, especially if they gravitate at some point in their high school years to an individual sport, golf or tennis or something like that. Don't forget about team sports. Don't stop playing team sports. If you're good enough to make the football team, basketball team, baseball team, whatever, even if you're going to ride the pine, do everything you can to play that team sport while you're young and in high school. Trust me, golf is going to be there for you, for all of your overweight, out of shape, middle-aged years and beyond. Never stop playing team sports, and always, if you can, get one last bus ride in. We take a quick break. For those of you who are subscribers, you may skip this break. You won't even hear it. Otherwise, we have to make this venture commercially viable, and we appreciate if you listen to and frequent and or support our sponsors. To be a subscriber and to get tomorrow's Friday show with Scott and Solly, just go to zabe.com/premium. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Joining us now, my friend and internationally acclaimed bourbon expert and tasting judge, author of 7 books on the magic brown elixir and other topics like Camera Boy, Certified Angus Beef, Whiskey Curious, Whiskey Women, Bourbon Curious, Bourbon the Rise and Fall and Rebirth, Rum Curious, and Mead, Legends and Lords of the World's Oldest Drink. He's working on a memoir right now. He does the Fred Minnick Show on YouTube, the Spirits Network, and of course you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. My friend, Fred Minnick. How you doing, buddy?
Wow, Steve, it's so good to see you because I listen to you every day. And, you know, we text all the time, too. We're in this, the most politically incorrect text thread in the history of mankind, which I love. I love that.
I don't like that you're in that, to be honest. You know, I'm like thinking to myself, God, Fred's in this chat and we should gently excuse him. Not that we don't like just having fun with you guy to guy. But you have more to lose than any of us. I'm like, leave him out of that. We're schlubs.
Well, in fairness, I don't really comment a lot.
No, you lay low. You just like...
Yeah. I do get my popcorn.
Oh, and I'm like, God, yeah.
I want to have a cup of coffee with Shirey and just like ask him
some
of the world problems for me.
We have characters for sure, but that's the fun of text threads. It's like virtual friendships. So before I get into anything, and I do want to pick your brain on bourbon stuff, your Ascot Awards, because that's your signature trademark, the Ascot. Your Ascot Awards for the best bourbon just dropped yesterday on the Spirits Network, and there is a huge upset that you're going to tell us about, and I got a few questions. I'm also right now, as you can tell, wearing my favorite bourbon hat, my Stitzel Weller hat with the Blade and Bow logo on the front. And I've told this story many a time. I'll tell it again. Stitzel Weller, who once had the motto, "We will sell great bourbon at a profit if we can, but at a loss if we must." And then as the tides of drinking fashion went out, they closed the factory because they couldn't lose that much money. And luckily enough, they had already distilled enough, put it into barrels to let it age. And by the time the tides came back in, they had this incredible wealth of finely aged bourbon. So it was fun to see that factory. And I do like this hat a lot. And I like Blade and Bow.
Yeah, it's a really great brand. And, you know, that's a wonderful story of if you don't capture the youngest generation of whatever your market is, that you will go out of business.
Yes.
So the bourbon industry at that time didn't really give any interest to the hippie generation, if you will, the baby boomers coming up, and they rejected bourbon when they were young. Now at older ages, they drink it, but they wanted vodka because James Bond wanted vodka, and it changed the entire industry. So that's a very difficult time in bourbon history.
Yeah.
You know, that you mentioned.
It was your old man's drink back in the day.
That's right.
And your grandpa's drink back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now it's swung the other way, and it's a beautiful drink. It's a wonderful drink, and we'll talk about it in just a second. But you being a proud Louisville resident had to have seen Scotty Scheffler's little underhand dig. For those that might have missed it, this was his last parting shot about his unfortunate exchange with the police and the one officer who just had a really bad day at work. Here was Scotty Scheffler explaining why he was just eager to have the matter dropped and behind him.
I did not want to have to pursue legal action against Louisville because at the end of the day that the people of Louisville are then going to have to pay for the mistakes of their police department. That just doesn't seem right. And
Louisville. Wow. He knows damn well, Fred, it ain't Louisville. It might be Louisville, which is still not what you guys prefer. You prefer
Patrick Mahomes messed that up recently too.
Did he really? So, okay.
Yeah, he messed it up. So I think it's pretty common for people to mess it up.
And this was an intentional low key shot by Scheffler, right?
All right. Yeah, probably.
Are these fighting words for you as a proud Louisville?
Well, native? I actually couldn't hear it through StreamYard.
Okay.
I couldn't hear it, but
he said Louisville. You've seen the bite, right?
But if that's the comment, if that's the point of reference of like, am I offended? No, some people do really get offended by that, but I don't really get too upset. I look at it as an opportunity to have a bourbon with someone, but
you know,
that whole incident, boy, it really, that was an embarrassing 48 hours for the city, but I have felt like the thing that kind of got lost in all the media coverage, especially locally, because locally we were embarrassed and we were trying to like cover up for how embarrassed we were, but someone died, you know, and that's why there was even this, you know, kind of like crime scene set up in the first place is a guy named John Mills. He's a 69-year-old security guard. He volunteered for the autism groups out here, like being their maintenance director and helping them fix refrigerators and stoves and things like that. And I mean, he was one of those like, you know, pillars of the community in the good old fashioned way we used to have communities, and like, you know, blue collar kind of guys. And he's over here volunteering for what he's probably thinking is like his dream job, and a shuttle bus strikes him and kills him, 69 years old. And I feel like that's what's gotten lost in all this. And, you know, everybody is on edge at that moment. And the police officer definitely, you can watch the tape and it doesn't.
He definitely overreacted.
Yeah. Tape don't lie. Tape don't lie, as they say.
You know, it's unfortunate. Now, of course, there could be 100 great cops if there's one bad one. We all know what gets, unfortunately, the most attention.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those things where you're like, oh, my God, come on now. Really? Is this really happening here? But, you know, it was an embarrassment, I guess, for the city. You kind of communicated that in our text thread, and that's fine. I don't hold it personally. I've always had a great time in Louisville. I don't think it's going to impact getting future events, obviously. And I think most of the people there were on Scotty's side. Like, look, I'm sure you didn't really do anything that wrong. So let's just get this behind us.
I've talked to no one in this community that was on the officer side. And
right.
Not a single person I've talked to about this was on the officer side. And you know, all, you know, career and everything. This guy was not a bad dude. He's not a bad cop. He'd been written up and that stuff's happened, but he's not someone where you would say like, oh yeah, that's the problem guy. he just was probably on edge, probably worked too hard. Got to keep in mind, we're coming off the Derby at that point.
Right.
That area, too, has kind of been turned into like a construction area where they're widening a lot of interstates. And so areas that are usually four lanes are down to one. So you have chaotic traffic in an area that should be nice and easy breezy.
That whole part of
town is really difficult to navigate right now.
You said the roads in town are not good.
No, it's awful. It's embarrassing how bad our roads are. They're doing construction. They've been doing construction on a strip of highway out here we call the Gene Snyder for, I want to say, 4 years. 71's no different. 64 is the same. But then you take into the city streets, and they're doing construction on that. And they'll randomly block off a strip of road, and there will be no construction crews there for 3 months, but the cones will be up for the entire time.
Great.
But I'll tell you this, when Kroger or Publix are building something, stuff gets built like that.
Chop, chop. Exactly. Yeah, when there's money at stake.
All the innards that go into the buildings, it all gets built. But anything that actually benefits someone, you know, the community outside of a corporate entity, like we're very excited about Publix, don't get me wrong. But anytime you have a dollar sign attached to a retailer or something, boy, they build it quick. And I think all of that kind of culminated for that officer, because he is a traffic officer and he's having to navigate through all these things. And plus, he's coming off of Derby, where they just get overworked as it is, and you know, it's a tough time. And I hate it for our community in so many ways. And there really is a going notion that we will never get another PGA event. That is the mindset right now.
Well, I mean, I thought the fans turned out big time. It was a great atmosphere. The course was too easy for these jerks who do nothing but golf all day and are too athletic and talented and have drivers the size of toasters and they can hit it a million miles, but that's not Louisville's fault. So I don't know if you'll never get one back, but I think it was a good event net at the end of the day. How was the Derby?
Derby was awesome as always. I went this year with my wife Jacqueline and some very good friends, and it's just become.
Do you go every year?
One of those. I go every year. I used to have my own bar. I used to have my own bar in the Churchill Downs, or the Kentucky Derby Museum would hire me to run a bar around where all the really wealthy people were, mm-hmm. which is really all over the place in Churchill.
Right.
And I kind of got tired of. I got tired of just talking to drunk people. I'm not about getting drunk and, you know, the intoxication thing. I want people to learn. And I was like, you know, I'm not getting any value out of this personally. So I'm out.
Right. So, but I heard about the new, I forget how many millions of dollars were spent on the sort of the luxury paddock in the round.
Yeah.
That is the new VIP area out there where you can sit and sip and drink and eat, and then see the horses that'll be in the races come clip around in a circle on their way out to the track.
Yeah, that part is very impressive. The funny thing is they've created more security checkpoints, and like you can get close. I feel like you can get closer to jockeys now because of that. than ever before. You know, so they'll have the jockeys like walking down a set of stairs. And before, you really could not reach out and touch
right.
a jockey. You could now. I don't think people are doing that. But before, it was kind of archaic. They would have to stop the flow of people walking to get and to close off a whole area. Like now, it's like not only is it beautiful and incredible, I think it's more friendly for the jockeys as well. And they're kind of like an underserved part of the whole Derby, but without them, you don't have it.
Right.
And it's, to me, you get a little closer and a little closer, but with every little bit of proximity to the horse and to the jockey, that dollar sign goes up a little bit. Oh, so, yeah. Churchill, they know how to earn a vig. That's for sure.
Yeah. And a great way to ruin a good bourbon is to make a mint julep. So if you really need,
I agree with that.
Feel the need, if you really feel the need to ruin a good bourbon, make a mint julep, a drink that really is only served and drank one day a year, right? On the day of the Derby. Like nobody goes into a bar on a random Tuesday and says, give me a mint julep.
No, look, the mint julep is directly tied to the Kentucky Derby. And it's connected to the first Derby, and it's been the glassware's like increased over time, and the shaved ice. There's these incredible quotes in the early 1900s about how men would take like put some ice in a rag, and they would slam it down to get it real like snow globe like, and they would put it in there, and then they'd pour the whiskey over it, and then the sugar water, and then the mint in there. There's like all these like really cool old stories connected to it. And it is tradition, but it is not something you are going to a bar and buying. That doesn't mean that the mint julep is going to go away.
No,
but
it's like eggnog at Christmas. It's always going to be there.
It's not like the margarita, right?
So
the margarita we're drinking.
Yeah. Drink that all the time. Yeah. Speaking of ice, Fred, I saw, I think it was a YouTube mini documentary on this ice company, high-end ice company that makes the cubes and the spheres for restaurants and hotels and bars in Manhattan, and how they get it perfectly clear. And it is utterly fascinating how much goes into it and how the process has to be done from the freezing of a giant coffin-sized block of ice that requires cranes and machinery to lift up, and then they cut it with these surgical blades, and then they polish it, and then they do something else to treat it, and then they pack it tightly in this dry ice, and they make sure to deliver it in this truck that's kept at -2 degrees at all times. And they get big dollars for it because the high-end bars demand the best ice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they like it. People like it clear. I was actually a spokesperson for GE on one of those really expensive like ice builders. But then pandemic happened, and that spokesperson role went away. But it kind of got rounded up into their GE profile stuff. But ice is a serious, serious business in not only the bar community, but like the country club. And it's probably, if you're trying to appeal to a certain type of people, I call them private jet people. So people who would either have a private jet or have access to a private jet.
Yeah.
You know, those people don't want your refrigerator iced. No. They just don't want it. You know, they want to be able to see right through it.
Yeah. All right. So the Ascot Awards are your annual awards for the best new bourbons or just best bourbons of the year?
It's actually all the spirits. I bring in tasters from around the country. It's called the American Spirits Council of Tasters. And I started this 4 years ago, and I come from, you know, my lineage in tasting is San Francisco World Spirits Competition. Learning taste mindfulness for myself, and then, you know, being a reviewer for Whiskey Advocate for a long time. And I wanted a competition that basically peeled away a lot of the, not that anyone was ever not being transparent, but I wanted people to see every step of it. So we started filming the process of tasting with all of our tasters, and we have 52 tasters around the country. And we started filming this, and when we started doing the finals together, and we blind taste numerous whiskeys and all types of whiskeys, bourbons, Irish, Canadian, Scotch, etc. And we will taste them through and determine our best in show. But we'll get in arguments. Like, you know, this airs on the Spirits Network, which you can find on Apple TV. And, you know, we got in some amazing arguments over the course of the tasting. But for best bourbon, we pitted what was the best, what won best wheated bourbon, best straight bourbon, best blend of straights, best small batch, and a couple other categories like best craft bourbon. And we tasted these off, and I had you don't know what these are as you're tasting them.
Blind
and
tasting.
You don't know it. Yeah, so it's complete. It's blind for us as tasters. Those pouring for us, they know what it is, but we don't know.
Okay.
And we're tasting it, and there's a notation that one of these glasses is like 5 years old, and another one is like north of like 12 years old. And so automatically, you know, when you have that kind of notation, tasters, you do your best to completely separate all this stuff. And if you think about it, like, it does come down to subjectivity. And so you try to take everything out of your head that could compromise your subjectivity and your objectivity. And you try to pick what you think is the best. And so I was really afraid as we were going in that people would just see that 5 year old kind of age and completely dismiss it. But the tasters went through it and picked this particular product over what we would learn was like an Elijah Craig barrel proof, a George T. Stagg. It beat a Weller. Like, it beat like all of these major high end brands. And when the curtains were unveiled and we got to see what they were, I had never even heard of this product.
All right. So, can we give the name of it? I know people are like, which one is it? Which one is it?
The brand is called Smoke Eye Heel. So that's Smoke Eye, like you're spelling the word eye, heel, and it's the cast strength product, batch one. This guy got contract distillation out of Indiana, aged it in Colorado, and had it bottled in Colorado. And it is kind of following the very same formula as Smoke Wagon out of Vegas in terms of how he makes it. But I had never heard of this product. Never heard of it. This guy launches his brand. He sends in bottles to the competitions, and he wins one of the three major competitions. And he does really well at the other two. So I was like absolutely stunned. First of all, I thought it was like when I first saw the bottle, I Googled it automatically, and I was like, there's not a website here, I can't find anything on it. So I checked with our like administrator. I was like, hey, is this a real product, or is someone messing with us here? Are we getting screwed with? And like, no, it's real. So you know, the guy just guys in distribution and all that. He's so new. Like, he hasn't really launched everything out.
I did a quick Google search. I see an El Cerrito liquor has a Smoke Eye Hill straight bourbon whiskey with a label on it, everything else, $69.95. So that's a decent price there. And then there's another Smoke Eye Hill heirloom blue corn Indiana straight bourbon whiskey, but it has no label on it, and it says the item you've chosen is not in stock or in our retail stores within our main warehouse.
Yeah, that would be the one that's blue corn. That's the one that won it.
Wow.
So that's the cash drink. So that news dropped yesterday, and I got to imagine his phone's been ringing off the hook. There was another brand, it won best bourbon, but it did not go on to win best in show. A 22-year-old Scotch called Longmorn won best in show for Scotch. But my vote for best in show was actually for a category called other whiskey. And this was from a brand in the state of Washington called Woodinville. And it's called Founders Select. And they basically found a bunch of old controversial barrels out of Tennessee and bottled them. And it's like, they're like 13
years old.
What
do you mean controversial? Really.
So there was a company, the largest spirits company in the world called Diageo tried to get the laws changed for Tennessee whiskey and Kentucky bourbon. So they would try to get distillate from, which is the whiskey right off the still, and bring it into Kentucky. They would try to get distillate from Tennessee and age it in Kentucky and call that Kentucky bourbon, and then, you know, vice versa from other places for like Tennessee whiskey. And so there's a bunch of like these old barrels out there that were in this time frame of when they were trying to job the system, but they lost, but they came up for sale, and this guy nabbed them, and they're really freaking good.
Interesting. Oh, I love the backstories on all this. You said that the Ascot Awards reviews and tastes all kinds of spirits. Mm-hmm. Surely you don't bother tasting vodka, do you?
Well, we do have some qualified vodka tasters. I am not one of them.
And
get very few entries though.
What contortions do they have to make to pretend as if there is any material difference in taste for a spirit that is designed to be odorless and tasteless?
So as with any like business endeavor, you have partners, right? And I'm like, you know, I was like, I don't want to look at the vodka tastings. Like, you guys manage all that. I'm out. So
right.
I'll overlook the tequila and be a part of gin and all that. But especially rum, you know, there's a beautiful rum that won our best rum. But I got to tell you, yeah, the vodka thing, every time it comes up, I get a chuckle because I'm like, why the hell do we have vodka? But
that is funny. Well, you like what you like, and you should drink it the way you like it. That's what I've been told. Yeah. So I'll have one funny little anecdote for you, and then I'll let you go. But I was in a liquor store in Pinehurst this past month for our golf tournament, and I was going there not for any high-end stuff. A lot of the guys on the trip that you know from our text thread brought their own high-end stuff, but I was going for just some good old Southern comfort so I could mix it with a Diet Coke out on the golf course. And right. I went for the mini bottles, and I was in there buying the mini bottles, and a guy pops in the door and asks the clerk, he said, "Yeah, just checking, did you get any Blantons in today?" The guy goes, "No, nope, sorry about that." "Okay, thanks." And he does a U-turn right out of the store. And I just remember when you did the blind tasting with me in charge during the pandemic, and one of the whiskeys was Blanton's, the highly sought after, very hyped, very hard to find whiskey. And I remember saying after blind tasting it, "Who forgot to bring the flavor?" And that was when you said, "You know, it's not a bad bourbon, but when you put it up against others in a blind taste test, you may be underwhelmed by it." So I got a chuckle of that, and I thought of you, my friend.
Oh, I love it. And it is really, you know, it's a beautiful way to find out what you like, is to put a lot of things in front of you and taste them. And look, this is a sports podcast, and I'm a huge sports fan. And I like to say what Charch does with his whiskey weekend, he's gamified it. Everybody can do that. It's you can create your own tournaments. You can even put bets down. There's action to be made on who likes what. So I think whiskey can go hand in hand and even be its own like little side thing to sports.
Yeah,
so.
His whiskey weekend is a brilliant idea. It's my life goal to get up there for their whiskey weekend. But I think he's got so many guys now that want in on it, and he doesn't want to expand it past the core guys. I might have to get on a wait list. But hey, you can start your own with your own friends. So any quick sports takes, Mr. Mittick, as you're sitting there in the warm, sweltery summer of good old Kentucky?
Well, I am a big collegiate wrestling fan. Like, ooh. I know this is not something that you
I don't cover it, but that's okay. I'm curious.
But there has been a big shakeup in collegiate wrestling with David Taylor going to Oklahoma State, of course, my alma mater.
Who's David Taylor, coach or wrestler?
David Taylor is widely considered to be one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, definitely the first or second best collegiate wrestler of the 21st century. But he was called the Magic Man, comes from Penn State, and He breaks away from Kel Sanderson at Penn State, which Penn State has a dynasty going in wrestling, and you know, became the he didn't make the Olympics. So instead of like keeping the grind, he goes into coaching. He takes one of the top five wrestling jobs in all of coaching, and a lot of people followed him. Jordan Burroughs in the wrestling world, who, if you don't consider David Taylor the greatest wrestler of the 21st century, Jordan Burroughs is, and he retired as well. So it's just, we're kind of in a new place for collegiate wrestling, and it's a fun time. If anyone likes UFC, I highly encourage you to check out some collegiate wrestling.
How did they steal this coach? Money?
Yeah, I think it's that simple. And it's also like, you know, if you have a pedigree of winning, you can get people. But of course, the private jets help, and having boosters that care more about wrestling than probably basketball.
And he went to your alma mater of Oklahoma State, correct?
Mm-hmm. He went to Oklahoma State.
So this is T. Boone Pickens money doing the Lord's
we've
work.
Got some, yeah, it would be, there would be some T. Boone money in there, but yes, we've got some new people who have flagged it specifically for wrestling.
Wow.
So we haven't won a national championship as a team since like 2008, I think. And we've won 34 total national championships in wrestling. So we have an incredible history there. And I wrestled, not in college, but I wrestled, and I do jiu-jitsu, and I'm very passionate about, like, you know, grappling sports. So to me, there's a new wave happening in wrestling because women's wrestling is taking off, and it's incredible to watch women's wrestling.
Dan Gable and Kel Sanderson are the two wrestlers I can by name just remember. Am I right about those two guys that are icons in the sport?
Icon. Yeah. Gable's got his own grip, like the most important grip.
The Gable cable. Don't let him get you in the Gable cable.
So you done for. You got the C grip going on. The Gable grip's palm over palm like that.
Oh, okay. It's
hard to break.
Oh my God. And the Buffalo Bills just signed a collegiate wrestler that they're going to try to figure out where they can maybe use him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Gable. Yeah, that's a big one. You know, he kind of failed in the Gable Stevenson's who you're talking about, and he did not make it in the WWE. And people are saying, well, he can't make it in the WWE. I was like, yeah. I mean, he's probably a little too violent for the WWE. To be honest with you, he can't control his violence in some ways. Like if you watch that guy wrestle, oh man, he's gonna be a beast on the D line. I don't care how big he is, he'll be able to get position on people. The thing about a guy like that is, like, is he going to be more interested in tackling the guy he's going up against or going against tackling the person? Right. Like, his aggression could be used against him. I can see that happening on the offensive line.
Yeah, he's not going to – he can't make it in the WWE. I'm not sure. It's a TV show, people. I mean, come on. Let's stop with the nonsense here. He didn't fit for TV. That doesn't mean anything when it comes to actual sports.
That's right.
All right, very good. As always, Fred, a pleasure. And I'm going to be on the hunt now for the Smoke Eye Hill Indiana Blue Corn Whiskey. That was the surprise winner of your Ascot Awards. And, of course, I'm going to check out the Fred Minnick Show on YouTube, Spirits Network, and, of course, wherever we get our podcasts.
Cheers, my friend.
File this last story under, wow, who could have seen that one coming other than everybody? Headline, remote Amazon tribe connects to internet via Elon Musk's gift of Starlink, quickly becomes hooked on porn and social media. Wow. This story from the New York Times. They have a 2,000-member tribe by the name of the Marubo tribe, and it's been left bitterly divided since they got the internet. This only happened 9 months ago, so it's been a very quick quick transformation of the tribe. Said Sainama Marubo, 73. He's one of the 2,000 Marubos in the tribe. They're all last name Marubo, which somebody said would make getting a Gmail address really challenging. Damn it, Marubo 999. Already taken? The hell? Their 2,000-member tribe has been bitterly divided because of what is now going on. said the 73-year-old tribal elder, Sainama, now things have gotten worse. When it arrived, everyone was happy. But now things have gotten worse. Young people have gotten lazy because of the internet. They're learning the ways of the white people. Oh, ow. Come on, man. That hurts. I'm sitting right here, you know. There's other people that are also lazy, too, and they're not white. The Marubo are a chaste tribe, often frowning on kissing, even in public. Wow, they're like the Duggars on steroids. But Alfred Marubo said he is anxious that the arrival of the service, which delivers super-fast internet to far-flung corners of the planet and has been billed as a game-changer by Musk, he's worried that it could upend the standards of decorum. He said many of the young men in the tribe have been sharing porn videos in group chats. You don't say. And he's already observed more aggressive sexual behavior in some of them. Gee, do you think the women are going to start a hashtag Me Too movement within the tribe? Another tribe member said, if you don't work, if you don't hunt, if you don't fish, if you don't plant, you don't eat. Some young people maintain our traditions. However, others just want to spend the whole afternoon on their phones. They say that the service has been a huge help when it comes to emergencies like snake bites, to be able to communicate with the outside world to get help. I guess that saved some lives. They say it has. But man, wait until this tribe sees two girls, one cup. That tribe is finished. They will take that Starlink, they will smash it into a million pieces, and they will throw it right in the river. That's enough for me today. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Fred Minnick for joining us. As always, you can be part of the Friday experience where you are a true one percenter by being a subscriber. Go to zabe.com/premium and join for just $4.99 a month, which is all I've ever charged, and I'll never charge another penny more. Fingers crossed. I hope not to. What am I, Peacock or something? And if you sign up for a year, you get 12 months for the price of 11. Otherwise, go month to month, cancel anytime. And literally, if there's ever a problem with your account or billing, you can email me at zabe@yahoo.com. I personally am the help desk, and I'll get you untangled with my help, with the help of my friend Chris Broussard, who runs the podcast. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, and we will see you next time. Tennessee whiskey. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. and you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.